This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Good morning, everybody. Great to see you all. To all the first-time visitors, a warm welcome to you guys. Please grab a coffee with us afterwards. All the children above 6 years old, right? All the older children, you're very welcome to join. I don't know if it's Superman or the Lion of Judah. You guys can join him going upstairs there. Yo, guys, really for us, we say we want to be a family that means business. We mean business about the kingdom of God, but we also mean business about relationship. And a part of that is to honor people. And this morning, I'm just so blessed by everyone that's bringing a bit of themselves and serving. So all the guys that are serving this morning, I want to thank you. And it's the first time that I've heard Natasha lead worship. So for me, it was just, I want to honor her. She's a working mother of two that's helping at Kids Church. And she's helped with worship this morning as well. And she's just got such a beautiful voice. She just does it so effortlessly. So I want to honor you, Natasha, and Wolf, thank you very much as well, man. A band is always 50% is the sound guy. Eh? I know that you can do what you want to as a musician, but if the sound man doesn't want to play along, then you can turn blue in your face. Nothing's going to happen. So for those of you that don't know me, my name is Johannes. You have to bear with me. I'm very sorry. I'm a bit fluish, so it might be a little bit not so comfortable all the time, so I apologize for that. My name means God is gracious. It's because I need a lot of grace, okay? I need a lot of grace. I can boast in that. I need a lot of grace. And I'm not a full-time pastor. I'm just a believer encouraging other believers to seek God with all that they've got, okay? I'm not here for a title. All I can do is to encourage you, okay? I cannot save you. I cannot keep you on the narrow path. I can just encourage you, don't depend on me. Work out your own salvation and depend on God. So I love for us to, I wanted to say something else. Tanya, awesome to have you here. I understand we've had some answered prayer. Hallelujah. Yeah, we're very excited, Tanya. We've all together trusted for her to get a job here in Walvis Bay. She's such a blessing to us, so we give God glory for answered prayer. Sorry, so I just had to do that. I'm very excited about that. Let's get interactive, okay? So turn to your neighbor and ask him, what is something that you're very passionate about, something that you really like? If eating is your only passion, then you need to share what is your favorite meal, okay? You need to share something that you're very passionate about. Maybe it's playing Xbox, Robert? Xbox. Any interesting hobbies? Okay, awesome. I believe something that I believe it wasn't too difficult to share this. I mean, at least all of us love to eat, right? So if you're passionate about something, it's not difficult to talk about it. A passion is a strong and barely controllable emotion. Okay, that's the modern day definition. A strong and barely controllable emotion. The older definition, interestingly, as I was reading up a bit, is actually from the Latin word patior, which was referred specifically to the passion and the suffering and the death of Christ. That passion, that's why the film's name was also The Passion of the Christ, because it referred specifically to the suffering and the death of Christ. Now, if you can see here on the boards and on the posters that one of our core values, meaning that it's part of who we are, is that we as a church, we have a passion for Jesus. Okay, let's look at Mark 12:30. You can just put it up there. Mark 12, verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Okay? Does that sound like passionate language to you? With everything that you've got, love God. Okay? And it actually, to me, I realized God actually commands passion from us. Okay? He's passionate about us, and He actually commands passion from us. Can I get an amen? Okay, now, just as an aside, we don't clap our hands and lift up our hands and shout out amen because we're trying to be charismatic. Wait, okay, so what kind of church are we going to be? Okay, we like that charismatic vibe, so let's throw in all the things that makes us charismatic. No. When we do that because we are passionate about Jesus Christ. We are passionate about His Word, and we believe in the power of agreement. So, you know, if you can go throughout Psalms and you'll see how people made a joyful noise, how they clapped hands, how they lifted their voices, lifted their hands. It's biblical. It's not just a style of church. And in the same way, when we say amen, it means, yeah, I like what you're saying. Yes, that is in Scripture. I can say amen to that. Okay, so that's just as an aside. We're not trying to be weird. We want to be passionate. So this morning, if you have a passion for Jesus, you're in the right place. At the same time, I actually want to tell you, if you don't have a passion for Jesus, you're also in the right place. Okay? More than one conversation, interestingly enough, this week that I had, said something along these lines. Your reaction towards the Father when you stumble and you fall short of His glory, your reaction towards the Father when you stumble is probably the things that define the thing that defines you most. So if you are stuck in sin, or maybe you lack that passionate love for God that He actually commands us, do you stay away trying to improve yourself, or do you run right to God? And like Peter, this is often a prayer of mine when I realize, you know, now I've really messed up. And everything in my common sense tells me there's no way you can go to a holy God. But then, hallelujah, God has worked something in me that I just know. I run to God and I say, Lord, I've messed up. But like Peter said, Lord, where else have I got to go? I've sinned against you, but the only place where I'm going to be whole is in you. Amen. So I believe you are sitting here today because you have a desire to grow in a relationship with God. If you are sitting here today, God is drawing you. God is busy with you. Okay? And we say healthy things grow. That's something that struck me last year. It was just something that we were talking about. And I just realized it's just, that's how nature works. Healthy things grow. Okay? And in John 15, Jesus says branches that bears fruit, put that up there. Branches that bear fruit, the Father prunes in order to bear more fruit to His glory. Now that pruning isn't comfortable, it's a cutting away. Okay? But according to Hebrews 12, if you are experiencing pruning or discipline, you can actually be joyous. Because pruning and that cutting away, that discipline actually affirms your sonship in God. Okay? So if you're going through seasons like that, just actually know it's because God loves you and God sees you as a child, as a son, and a daughter. And that's why you're going through those times. Common sense says if you want to grow a church, okay, you must use clever marketing strategies, you must have an attractive program, you must preach topics that people like to hear, and then you will have a full church, okay? We don't want a full church. In the beginning of this year, one evening I was just praying, and it struck me, God, may we have a filled church. Filled. Each and every one of us filled with the Spirit and the Word of God. Amen? In this family, we want to have a passion for Jesus. And we can only be passionate about someone or something that we know well. Okay, hold that thought. Sorry, I told you guys, please just bear with me this morning. Been a bit of a wrestle this weekend. Okay, so we can only be passionate about someone or something we know well. So today we will look at getting to know Jesus the judge. Okay, like I said, sometimes pruning is uncomfortable. Okay, we're going to be looking at Jesus the judge and Christ the carpenter king. So sometimes we need to delve into scriptures which aren't always comfortable. Remember, to bear fruit, we need to be pruned. If we want to grow in our passion, we actually need to come to Jesus. He is the two-edged sword that cleanses us from things that kill our passion, okay? So sometimes we have to go to scriptures that are not comfortable because it prunes and it kills and it cleanses us from those things that kill our passion. So in my line of work, I work as a medical doctor. There are many uncomfortable situations. I'm not going to go into them. It's just uncomfortable. But one of the worst things for me personally is when I need to go and testify in court in cases where there was assault. And recently I had to appear again, and man, did my heart race and did I break out the sweat. It was like every time that I've had to go, it's like I'm running up Dune 7, okay? So help me God. It's a scary thing, and I realized I was sitting there, and I realized if I saw that magistrate on the street or if I saw these lawyers on the street, I wouldn't think anything. If I walked into this building and they weren't here, it would just be regular people in a regular building. But as soon as you come into that situation where there's a higher authority, you can say, "Ah, I believe this and I believe that." When you're sitting in a court, it's not going to be, "I believe this and I believe that." It's going to be about the truth, okay? When there's a higher authority taking every word into account in order to make a final judgment, then you start trembling, okay? And that's the thing that's usually the scariest for me, is you need to focus about every word that you say. You can't keep out things. You can't say something that you're not sure about. You can't venture out and say things that you don't have expertise about. And it's scary because you realize this all is going to have an effect and carry weight in the final judgment. And then after this, I just realized how we often forget that our loving God is also a just judge. And let's look at some scripture. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 9. "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart in the sight of your eyes." Does that sound familiar? Everything is relative to my perspective, man. It looks okay and it feels okay. "Walk in the ways of your heart in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment." This is not me speaking. Romans 14 verse 12. "So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." Each of us will give an account. Now we believe, we love to say this, right? We believe God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Yes? Now go and read Numbers 16 again one day. And do we realize, it was something that a while ago, it just struck me. Gee whiz. We say God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But you know, number 16, the God that we worship is the same God who made the earth swallow, fire consume, and a plague kill off his own rebellious people. Okay, he didn't just do it for just throwing his toys out of the cot. The people were rebellious, okay? But talk about swift judgment. The people were rebelling. The people were complaining, critical of the leaders that God appointed. And like that, people were just swallowed in the earth. Fire consumed them. A plague killed them. Swift judgment. Now, if I thought it was terrifying to appear in a court here on earth as a mere witness, I started thinking when I just can't imagine. Sometimes I'm maybe too carnal or, you know, just too stuck in the temporary, my temporary journey here on earth, that I can't imagine Judgment Day and I'm standing there like in the book of Revelations where everything is like massive and just we can't relate to it because it's like nothing we've seen on earth, and it's seraphim and cherubim and trumpets and loud roaring of the hosts of humanity, and then all of a sudden, God is gracious, stand closer. And the book is opened, and the scrolls are opened, and the account of my life is read aloud. Romans 12 verse 16. On that day, when according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. Any perfect people in the house this morning? Anyone willing to raise your hands? All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. You know, and this is just the perfect way to really encourage people to get passionate about Jesus, right? Talking about the judgment of God. But wait. Jesus is so much more. If we truly know Him, we can't help but to become passionate about Him. No, we can't swipe Jesus is the judge under the carpet and say, no, that's not part of my gospel. These are New Testament scriptures I'm reading, okay? If we truly know Him, we can't help but to become passionate about Him. If we really want to know Him, each one of us needs to come closer. Each one of us needs to ask, needs to seek, needs to knock. Are we just going to scratch the surface and when we come across something like this, like, how does the judgment of God work? No, I don't want to know God anymore. You run away. But are we willing to persevere? Because the truth is, each and every one of us sitting here this morning, can know Jesus. You know, that's what I love about God. Since I was a 16-year-old boy, there's always something more to learn about Him. Always something new to see of Him. You know, that's why I believe there's an eternity. For us to know Him, it's going to take an eternity. So let's look at Jesus from another angle. We just looked at the truth that Scripture says Jesus is going to judge us, okay? Now, Christ, the carpenter king. So I recently started woodworking, okay? And I just love how God can be a part of every aspect of our life, you know? I didn't go to court thinking I'm going to learn something about God, but it's how God is just so involved in our lives and you know, how He's teaching me things as a son. It's the same with each and every one of us. So anyway, started woodworking and I'm busy with the wood. And I was reminded of how in the gospel at least two times it's mentioned that Jesus was a carpenter or they say he might have been a construction worker. But even as a construction worker, he would have handled wood. So I started wondering, why was Jesus a carpenter? So I'm working with the wood as I'm thinking about this, and I've learned a few things about wood so far. Okay, upon looking closer, there's always some blemishes, some cracks, some chips, some imperfections, and some crooked curves. And it takes patience for me to sand down a piece of wood, okay? Patience, just patiently working with the wood. And sometimes I need to use force, and other times I need to work very gently to join things together. Remember we said we are branches that need to be pruned? And I just realized as I was thinking about Jesus being a carpenter that my life, just like a piece of wood, can only be transformed by a higher hand. That there's wood that's been lying there for like 3 months and nothing's happened to it until I laid my hands upon it, okay? So my life, just like a piece of wood, can only be transformed by a high hand, formed and finished into a fearfully wonderful work, okay? Are we willing that Christ, the carpenter, are we willing for Him to lay hands on us? A finished project. You know, if you make something and it's about the fun about, it's for me, it's about the fun making it. But a finished project, I just put a table there and then people come in, yo, nice table. Yo, well done, and all those kind of things. And, you know, it's the same with God. If we are going to allow Him to finish and form us, we're going to bring glory to Him. Just like we said in John 15, if we bear fruit as the branches, we're going to bring glory to Him. And I don't make things just for show. I make things that I want to use, okay? So if we allow God to lay His hands on us and to form us and to finish us, He's going to put us to good use. So I pondered some more about Jesus as the carpenter, and I thought about how He would have handled wood with His hands. Okay, so He would have come very close to the wood. And I realized how close He came to the very thing that would finally be the instrument of His death. I was just struck by it, that He was working with wood probably from His early teens and until the day He was released into ministry. And every day He was busy with the wood. And finally it was a wooden cross that was the instrument of His death. And I was just struck about it again, how the very people that Jesus came to save, to form and to finish, rejected Him and nailed Him to a wooden cross. He knew what would be His end. In Scripture, I just read it recently again. He knew where He came from and He knew where He was going. He told the disciples he's gonna die. He knew what His end would be by the hands of men. And yet still, all the while, He was patiently carving and forming and finishing in the lives of His followers. I don't know about you, but have you ever wondered what your response would have been if you were part of the society that witnessed Jesus' ministry? I think, for me, I always just tremble because I realize it's only the grace of God that, you know, I've got the Bible and they've already told me, okay, this is the Son of God. If Jesus were to walk into this town today and start doing things, I would be like, you know? And I realize it's just the grace of God that has opened my eyes to see that Jesus is the living God. We're talking about a passion for Jesus. And I want to share probably one of the most famous scriptures. And I just want us to look closely at it again. John 3 verse 16 to 18. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes, highlight that word, believes in Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to this. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn. Okay? We've spoken about Jesus being the judge. For me, it was something I needed to wrestle with because I got a little bit confused with this. But bear with me, we're going to get there. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn. Okay? The word there is krino, which in Greek, a synonym is also to judge. Okay? But condemn is also like you've gone to judgment and you've had final condemnation. Okay? It's like you're guilty or not guilty, or this is how the balance weighs up. And if it's falling for you in the wrong place, you're condemned. It's goodbye. Okay? For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 5 verse 22. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. And we'll see a bit later also why it's been committed to the Son. Judgment has been committed to the Son. Don't worry, I'm busy with good news here, eh? 1 John 2 verse 1. My little children, this is John writing. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. Okay? But like we said this morning, none of us are perfect in this place. Okay? There are things that we hope that we've maybe confessed before God, and maybe someone that you really trust. Maybe you haven't done that, but there are things that we really hope the rest of the world doesn't find out about. Okay? We all stumble and fall short of the glory. And if anyone sins, praise God, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Okay? Now, this is the advocate is the guy who's pleading your case and saying, no, man, this guy can't go to jail. He can't be damned. He can't be condemned. I'm getting in the gap here. I'm going to mediate this situation. Okay? Jesus Christ, our mediator. Now, I don't know about you. Just a few scriptures that I've read now. Is anyone confused a little bit? He didn't send the Son to judge, yet he's given judgment to the Son, and at the same time is the advocate. I haven't studied law, but this is confusing. How can you be the judge and the advocate and in the first place be all of those things if you don't want to judge me at all? You see, this is the place where sometimes God, maybe there's something that you don't understand, but you know, God's not going to give it to you on a plate and you can go and ask someone else, but sometimes God wants you to come to him to wrestle with something, okay? Because he's after your heart as a son, as a daughter. So I want to encourage you, when you don't understand something, don't just run away, go closer. Ask God, God, how does this work? How does this work? In that process of coming to him, he's actually busy forming and finishing you as a piece of wood. And you think it's all about this thing that you don't understand, but he's actually all the time forming and finishing you as a beautiful and fearfully made product. Woodwork project, okay? So it says he came to save, not to judge. It says he's the judge, but also the advocate. And so as I just read a bit more in scripture, it came clear to me. Jesus came with the purpose to save. He didn't come with the purpose to judge. He came with the purpose to save. That his mission was to give us the good news that we can be reconciled to the Father by faith. Okay? That is the good news. That is the message that he brought. John 12 verse 47 verse 45. We will, however, be judged when we reject the words of his good news. Okay? And I'm going to read that scripture now. This is one of the conclusions I came to. We will not be judged by Jesus, but we will be judged when we reject the words of his good news. And here Jesus breaks it open for us in John 12, 47 to 48. If anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. You see, that's in his own words. I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. That is his purpose. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken, will judge him on the last day. You know, and sometimes it's things that are beyond our mind, but I also realized, yes, but Jesus is also the Word. He was the Word that became flesh. So all of these things actually do make sense. Colossians 2 verse 9, for in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead. You know, only a big God can be a just judge and an advocate and at the same time save us. Okay? Sometimes for me, when I don't understand something about God, I realize I'm so small and He's so big. And God, I just run to You and I say, I don't understand everything now, but You are so worthy of worship. Just because, hallelujah, You are so much bigger than me. You are beyond comprehension. I'm not going to worship something that I, you know, can, oh, okay, I figured out. Nice, ugh, that's okay. You know, God is beyond our comprehension. He's worthy of worship. There's always more. Jesus is a judge, but He's also the carpenter king that saves us. And I love the scripture that said His mercy triumphs, or mercy triumphs judgment. Okay? So this is a big God whose love endures forever. And this is a God that we can be passionate about. Okay? It's not just a little slogan there. Okay, let's get passionate. Okay, let's say amen. Okay, let's lift our hands. No. Each and every one of us, as I say, each and every one of us can know God. Each and every one of us is invited. Come seek Me. Come knock. Come ask. And you shall find. And it's when in that place when we for ourselves realize how big God is. How He's worthy to actually be feared because He's holy. In how many people fell dead in the presence of His holiness. And yet He invites us through Christ to know Him. When you have that revelation, when each one of us has that personal revelation, we can't help but be passionate about Him. John 5 verse 27. And He has given Him authority to execute judgment because He is the Son of Man. Has any one of you ever read that description of Jesus, the Son of Man, and wondered, what does this mean? You're the Son of God, but you're the Son of Man. How does that work? So Jesus, what it basically boils down to, that Jesus is the Son of God, but He was also the Son of Man. 100% God, 100% man. Okay? Some people talk about the first Adam. Adam who was just like in our nature and fell away from God. And where Christ came as the second Adam to redeem humanity to God. Because Jesus, as the Son of Man, lived a human life. Okay? When He was there in the workshop and he hit His finger. He just, you know, He didn't sin. He lived a perfect life so that He could become, as the Son of Man, God could accept His sacrifice on the behalf of mankind. He became the perfect sacrifice for our eternal sentence. And I love it on the cross where Jesus said, "It is done." Colossians 1:19-20. For it pleased the Father. Remember I said, how can God be all these things at the same time? And I was just reminded about this scripture. And it actually takes together a lot of what we've said this morning. For it pleased the Father that in Him all fullness should dwell. And by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him. Whether things on earth or things in heaven, Son of God, Son of Man, reconcile all things to Him, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. It is by the blood of Christ that we aren't swallowed by the earth today when we rebel against God. We're not consumed by fire or by plagues because of the peace that has been made through Christ by His blood on the cross. I'm ending off with this scripture. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Natasha, if you can maybe come up. I just want us to sing that. Who You Say I Am, please. So like I said this morning, Jesus came with a purpose to save us. Today is still that carpenter king. Are we willing as branches to be pruned? Are we willing as a humble piece of wood to be formed and finished according to His good purpose? He didn't come to judge us. But if we reject this good news, the words of those good news, of this good news, we will be judged by that, because the invitation is open. Will we this morning receive these words and simply believe the good news of Jesus? I want to encourage you, whether you have not come to Christ ever before, or whether you've been walking with Him for a number of years, let no lie keep you from coming to God. We've read this scripture, and we've said that response that we might have to towards the Father when we stumble or when we make a mistake can be the most defining thing about us. Do you believe that you are righteous in Christ? That we might become the righteousness of God in Him. When we simply receive that and say, thank you, Jesus, that I am righteous in you. May that be the most defining truth in my life. I'm righteous in Christ. I just want us to bow our heads and just commune with God. I don't want to make this message cheap this morning. No, it's like I said, sometimes we need to delve into scripture that's not that comfortable. God is a just judge, but He's also our Savior. And often we want the blessings of the cross, but are we willing to share in the suffering of the cross? Remember that suffering also being passion, as we looked at the older definition. We can only grow in Him when we are willing to take up that cross, to follow in the footsteps of our carpenter king. I want to ask us, if Christ has given it all for our eternity, what are we willing to sacrifice to invest in another's eternity? I want to ask us, where is your heart and your treasure and your passion today? In your heart, just talk to God. Just be open to Him. Just be honest to Him. He already sees everything. He's not like a earthly judge that needs to scratch all over the place to find the truth. He already knows the truth of our lives. Nothing is hidden from His sight. I want to ask you this morning, if you've never given your life to Christ, if you've never received His good news, never accepted Him as your Savior, as your King and your Lord, or maybe you know you've drifted very far away, I want to ask you this morning to come forward. And it's not a matter of coming forward to me. It's like just a step of faith. Like we said, what is your response when you feel that conviction?
Do you run away from God or do you run towards Him? And also, if you really need prayer, please come forward. And the rest of us, I want us to sing this next song again, and just whatever is stirred in your heart this morning, just as while we are singing this song, just pour out your heart before God. Just pour out your heart before God. And then I'll close, Russ.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.